Verdugo, ladies and gentlemen. Verdugo. 877-710-ESPN. Who's got more pressure, the Dodgers or the Lakers to win it all? Dodgers haven't won a chip since 1988. Obviously, the Los Angeles Lakers, last championship they had was with the great icon Kobe Bryant in 2010, along with Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom, Meta World Peace, and the rest of the crew. So that's the question we're proposing out there. So if you're driving around, you want to give us your thoughts, you can feel free to do so. You know, Jesse, I think there is something to that when I think I just naturally, I have a bias, obviously, towards the Lakers. When I say I have a bias, what I mean by that is I want the Lakers to win so bad. And I do feel like, you know, there's an incredible, incredible loyal fan base to both franchises, the Lakers and the Dodgers. And there's an expectation from the Lakers, like you mentioned, Jess, 6 years. 6 years, they haven't even made the postseason. Where the Dodgers, the problem hasn't been making the postseason. The problem hasn't been being a World Series favorite. The problem hasn't been getting to the World Series. The problem has been winning it all. And they don't. It's not like we can go back and say, all right, well, the last time the Dodgers, it was they won it 7 years ago, or they won it 4 years ago, or they won it 10 years ago. That is the one thing with the Dodgers that I'm sure sticks into a lot of, you know, just L.A. fans in general, is the mere fact that it's been since 1988, where the Lakers, they've won five NBA championships since 1988. They win in 88. Might have been six NBA championships since 1988. So I know that that's a big difference. And, you know, what the Dodgers have built over these last few years has been incredible. Look, as much as we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers and how, you know, in a sense, spoiled we are as Laker fans, man, if you're a Dodger fan, how good has this franchise been over this handful of years? But you still got nothing to show for it at the end. You still don't have that ring to show for it at the end. I just look at this. I look at, you know, LeBron James, and he's been so amazing this year at age 35. What I don't know with LeBron, okay, how much longer can LBJ do this? Can LeBron have this type of a season next year? When does it kind of start dropping off? That's the question. So, Jess, that's the one that kind of sticks with me a little bit. What sticks with me is kind of looking at this between the Dodgers and the Lakers. I think you would have a more middle-of-the-ground answer where I think I'm just naturally swayed to the Lakers. I think when you make an argument, you could make the argument right now, but, Al, they haven't won since 1988, and this is their best chance to do so probably out of any of these years.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because the Dodgers are actually trying to win their eighth straight division title. So the fall of the Lakers
Which
and the rise of the Dodgers, it's completely on different, you know, it's insane because the scales are always off balance.
Yeah.
There's never a time where if this doesn't feel like it, where they're both there and there's a chance for this year for the Lakers to have a parade down Figueroa for an NBA championship and the Dodgers to have a parade down Figueroa for a World Series. And like I said, they're both in the same pressure for just different reasons. One is just trying to get over the hump, while the one is just trying to find that hump to get over.
Curtis, what do you think? Who do you think's got more pressure?
For me, I always say the Lakers, just because it's been so long since they've even made the postseason itself. Yeah, the Dodgers have at least gotten to the dance.
They've made noise. Dodgers have made noise. Lakers have made noise.
Yeah, it's been so long. It's for me, it's LA all the way. Lakers all day.
All right, so you think Lakers got more pressure. All right, a couple quick things on Dodgers news. So we already mentioned this. You heard Mason mention it as well. You heard Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times mention it. So there's a holdup right now on the Betts deal, on the Mookie Betts and David Price deal. So we'll see if that all gets figured out. I got to expect that it eventually gets done. I mean, how are you going to go back and say, hey, you know what, Mookie, you're still in Boston?
Yeah, and it feels like it's going to be the deal that the Twins are making that's trying
their
to be
pitching
reworked.
Prospect, Bruzdar, Gratterall.
Yeah, it seemed that the medical records came back that he's projected as a reliever as opposed to a starter with what's the Red Sox wanted. So I think they're trying to find more value for that. But as everything that I've seen, it doesn't seem that the Dodgers are going to give up more. It just seems that they're trying to find the Twins to find that middle ground to, you know, make up for the reliever as opposed to a starter.
Utility man Chris Taylor and the Dodgers agree to a two-year extension. They avoid arbitration, agree to a $13.4 million contract. So there's some news on the Dodgers. And then Max Muncy yesterday, first baseman for the Dodgers, agreed to a three-year $26 million contract. So that's obviously just some news right there on the Dodgers front. I want to shift a little bit because there was so much that went on yesterday in the NBA, the trade deadline. A little bit later in the show, actually coming up at 8:15, we'll have San Francisco Chronicle Warriors beat writer Connor Latourne hopping on to talk about the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers tomorrow. And then I also want to get his thoughts on that Andrew Wiggins and D'Angelo Russell trade. Now, there's something to that trade. D'Angelo Russell, obviously a former Laker. And this Golden State Warriors team that has dominated the NBA now for a number of years, this year, nothing. Klay Thompson out the whole year. Steph Curry pretty much out the entire season with his broken hand. Kevin Durant joins the Brooklyn Nets. He won't get going until next season as well. The Warriors is one of the worst teams in the NBA. And I sent out a couple tweets yesterday, and basically I thought that the move that the Golden State Warriors made, and I've been saying this, and I think a lot of people thought this as well, that D'Angelo Russell on the Golden State Warriors, it was just an asset. It was just a chip that eventually was going to get dealt. But this does come back around to the Los Angeles Lakers, because next year, I think the team of Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green will be a title contender team again.
That's going to be a crazy team. I'm excited to see that team, just not against the Lakers.
Well, I got a lot of criticism yesterday because I was saying I really liked the move. I really think Andrew Wiggins is, you're not asking him to be your best player.
No.
You're not asking him to be your second best player. Nope. You're not asking him to be your third best player.
Nope, not on most nights.
Can you be a better version of Harrison Barnes? That's what you're asking him.
Without a doubt. And he is. Straight up, he is. So that's going to be fun to see.
24 years old, much more athletic, I think has a much higher upside than what Harrison Barnes had.
Oh, and he's a way better defender.
And they won a championship with Harrison Barnes, right? So I feel from my standpoint, I know Wiggins' contract is crazy. You know, he's got a big contract.
Max deal.
But I think you have to kind of remember this, and this happens in the NBA. So much of the time we look at contracts and we say, oh my gosh, that's terrible. You can't move it. Right? That there's a perception that these are the worst contracts. Contracts get moved. Bad contracts get moved.
The bottom line is that doesn't matter. They will get moved. If you find a taker, which you throw in enough assets, they'll take it.
By the way, this kind of comes with it as well. Andrew Wiggins, let's say, is a project for the Golden State Warriors. He's just 24. Just 24 years old.
I think people forget that.
Okay? Just 24. And by the way, put on top of that, you look at Andrew Wiggins and you say, let's say Wiggins didn't work and they decided to give up on him in a year and a half, right? Well, okay, a lot of that chunk of money is now it's not that bad of a contract. You know, now it's a much more movable contract because there's only 2 years left on it or whatever the case is. So I think there's a perception in the NBA that because there's a bad contract out there or it has high dollars, I mean, hell, the Lakers found a way to move Timofey Mozgov's contract.
Oh, man.
Contracts can get moved.
I'm still sad we couldn't find a taker for Luol Deng's contract, though.
Yeah, he's stretched, right? So he's got 3 years, $5 million. That's just kind of dead money on the Lakers' books. But I did think there was something there about the D'Angelo Russell and the Andrew Wiggins deal. Because, you know, next year, I was talking to Michael Thompson about this, and we were just chatting. I'm like, MT, I think that puts the Warriors back at top three in the West. Lakers, Clippers, Golden State Warriors next year. And however, you know, whatever happens in the offseason, all that stuff obviously comes into play. But for those who think the Warriors are just done, I'm not one of them.
No.
I think that this team's going to have an incredible amount of motivation. And they almost beat the Toronto Raptors last year. I think they still beat the Toronto Raptors if Klay Thompson doesn't get injured.
Oh, yeah.
With KD out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and, you know, people forget the first, two titles they got was with Draymond, Steph, and Klay. You know, KD wasn't there until after. And then
KD came in won two,
mm-hmm.
and they won one without KD.
Yeah,
remember, so, they lost that 2016 to LeBron.
Yeah, they lost the. That was the year they won 73 games and they lost.
There you go.
And then the year after, they got KD. Look at that, rich get richer. But, you know, it's. And the whole thing that we're completely missing, too, the fact that the Golden State Warriors got Wiggins is the fact that they kept their pick.
I know.
They're still going to have a top five, top three.
And they got a pick
next year and wherever the T Wolves fall. So. They're reloaded.
Yeah, when
there's no rebuild for the Warriors.
When I saw that deal, I was like, gosh, dang it. Like, that's the last thing.
Yeah.
Right when I saw it, I thought it was from a basketball perspective, taking myself out of a Laker fan perspective, just watching it. Do you think that's a good deal? Do you not think it's a good deal? I'm like, yeah, that's going to work. That's going to work. And by the way, D'Angelo and Karl Anthony Towns, they're going to do so well losing 50 games a year together.
Oh, yeah. Unless they commit to playing defense, that's all they're going to keep
going down. 32 and 50 is going to look so good for them.
Yeah, but you know what? Their best friends are playing together.
I don't know what's going to happen with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I know those two wanted to play together. But do I feel like that's going to be a threat? No, definitely not anytime soon. Shaquille O'Neal called Joel Embiid soft. I got to play this. I still haven't even heard it. So I know you put it on the board there. Let me play it real quick before we go to break.
Giannis is playing with voice, and Embiid is playing SOF capital T right here. I'm saying, you know what? I'm not shooting no jumpers. I'm going right at you. Kevin McHale move right there. I don't care who you are. And look, I'm just going at you, and I'm taking it to your chest. You 7 foot, so am I, but you're still too little. Jump hook of the death. And right here on the other end, he's not playing with force. He's looking for the foul. He has a little band-aid on his little hand.
Oh,
he wants the ref to call the foul. The ref don't call the foul, so he runs back on defense like a little baby, and then you let this guy score on you.
You're playing
SOF capital T. I'm not being harsh. Listen to me.
That's pretty harsh.
Wow.
I love
that is
Shaq.
Hilarious. By the way, his voice, whatever that was fantastic.
Soft the capital T.
Oh, Shaq.
Oh, that is great. That is great stuff right there. As good of a NBA show gets, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith.
The best. There is no better pregame show, postgame show. There just isn't.
They got a great postgame show
with Alan Sleigh was a good second.
They got great chemistry together. And I put the Lakers postgame show personally. I put it at 94th, locally. All right, that's enough of that. Coming up next.
Second in my heart.
We're going to talk more about the Lakers, their matchup tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors. Warriors beat writer Connor LaTorne from the San Francisco Chronicle is coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. That's a great beat right there. Lakers taking on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow. Where are the Warriors? You don't got to look very. It's very easy. 12-40 on the season. Just 12-40 on the season. But this obviously is one of those years that the Golden State Warriors, no problem to take the L's. They'll be back next season, I'll tell you that. Joining me now is the Warriors beat writer, Connor LaTorne from the San Francisco Chronicle. Connor, thanks for taking some time on a Friday night, hopping on the show and helping us preview a little bit Lakers and the Warriors tomorrow.
No worries. Anytime.
All right, so can you educate us a little bit? Who's playing tomorrow? You know, it's funny because we have been so accustomed to that Warriors roster over the years, and now because of all the injuries, everything has changed. Just give us kind of a quick snapshot. We know the Warriors 12-40 on the season. Who should we expect to watch tomorrow, and what should we know about the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I walked into Warriors practice today, and I turned to one of the other writers, and I said, who's even on the team at this point? Because in the past 2 weeks, the Warriors have traded six rotation players. Six of their 14 players have been traded. Yesterday, they had to add five different players to the 15-man roster just to reach the league minimum of 14 players on the 15-man roster. So there's a bunch of guys who have played in the G League this year. There's a bunch of guys that the average NBA fan wouldn't even be aware of. And it's kind of crazy. There's only two players that are going to be available tomorrow who were on the team last season. And one of the new guys should be Andrew Wiggins, assuming that he clears assuming that he clears his physical. He was obviously the centerpiece of that trade yesterday with Minnesota involving D'Angelo Russell. So that'll be the big thing to watch from the Warriors is how does Andrew Wiggins look in his first start with the Warriors.
So there's a good chance tomorrow that he plays against the Lakers.
Yeah, there's a good chance. He's getting in tonight, and I was told, assuming that he clears his physical and everything, he should be good to go.
I'll get your thoughts, and I'll get maybe a little bit of a pulse of the Bay Area. What do people think about Andrew Wiggins for next season? This year, obviously, it's a wash, doesn't mean anything. I'm sure there's probably a lot of Warrior fans that want to lose games and increase their chances at a top three pick, hypothetically. So with that in mind, what do people feel Andrew Wiggins is going to bring to the table with Clay, with Steph, with Draymond Green? And I want to get your thoughts on if you like that trade for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, you know, I actually do like the trade. I don't think that the Warriors could have done much better than that for D'Angelo Russell. I don't think that the market value for D'Angelo was necessarily as high as a lot of people might assume. You know, he's a guy who obviously can score the ball, but he's very ISO heavy, kind of has a very distinct playing style, doesn't play really any defense to speak of. And so the only team that really made a hard run at him, I know a couple teams inquired about him, but the only team that made a really hard run at him was Minnesota. They've been well chronicled to have an infatuation with him, largely because he's close friends with Karl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. and they're trying to keep Karl Anthony Towns long term. So their hope was bringing in his best friend would make him more likely to stay. And so I think they were honestly going to give the best offer for Russell, and they gave him Andrew Wiggins, the lightly protected first round pick in 2021, which is supposed to be top three protected in a very strong draft. So that's actually a really good asset. And then
that's what the Warriors got back
pick in 2021.
So the Warriors got that pick for 2021.
Yes. So and then also Minnesota let them. Let the Warriors include Jacob Evans and Amari Spellman in the deal, which allowed the Warriors to go below the luxury tax threshold and avoid the repeater tax, which would have been an extra $40 million. So the Warriors actually accomplished a lot. I know a lot of fans and analysts are kind of judging this trade solely based off Andrew Wiggins, but there was more to it than that. The Warriors aren't expecting Andrew Wiggins to come in and be an all-star caliber player. They're just expecting him to play a role and be a legitimate starting small forward for hopefully a championship caliber team next season. They want him to cut toward the rim, ratchet up the tempo and fast break, be a willing defender. Doesn't have to be an elite defender, but at least willing. They're basically asking him to kind of fill that Andre Iguodala type role. So, I personally think that he could benefit from a change of scenery after an unstable environment in Minnesota, and I think he'll actually maybe appreciate not having the pressure of being a go-to guy. So that's kind of what the Warriors are banking on.
Warriors beat writer Connor Latourne, San Francisco Chronicle, hopping on 710 ESPN. Connor, I'll give you my thoughts. I hate the move because I'm a Laker fan, right? And that's a compliment to what the Warriors did. And that's my God-honest truth is I feel like a lot of times, like the Minnesota Timberwolves are not known for a winning, crowning organization that's taking talent or less talent and watching it bloom in front of your eyes. No, I don't feel like that's the case. The Warriors are known for that. And I think having that piece, like Steve Kerr was saying a little bit earlier today, I read that report and you were at practice, but just him saying that this was a better fit, it is a better fit. You know, you already have too many guards. You got now your wing player. I spent, an hour of the first hour of the show talking about how the Lakers don't have a wing and the Clippers have so many of them. We have too many guards and everything else, just kind of going up and down that conversation. I thought it was perfect. And then when you tell me that they save $40 million because they're now below the luxury tax this season, and then you say they get a pick in 2021 that's Minnesota's pick, and we know the T-Wolves aren't going to be, competing for an NBA championship. Man, I feel like they walked away with this with a tremendous amount of assets, and I'm with you that I don't. I know that that salary, the Andrew Wiggins contract, the 27 this year, almost 30 next year, and then over 30 two more years after that. I know that's high. I know that he shouldn't be earning that much in today's NBA, but he's just 24 years old. And you know what? If it doesn't work in a year, year and a half, whatever the case is, it's still another asset that you can move.
Yeah, and I think that's the gamble is because of that contract, he probably would be harder to move than D'Angelo ever was. And so that's the risk they're taking is do you end up having this albatross contract on your books that you can't unload? But they feel confident that he can be a solid piece to this team. Now, like I said, they're not asking him to be some all-star caliber guy. They just need him to be a helpful piece. And I think he's more than capable of doing that. This is a guy who is extremely talented, extremely athletic. And I think he struggled at times in Minnesota because it was a dysfunctional environment and because they weren't really using him properly. They had him in a lot of pick and roll situations. He's never really been a pick and roll guy, you know, going back to high school in Kansas. He was always really good in motion systems, you know, moving off the ball. And that's what he's going to be asked to do with the Warriors. So I personally think that it could work out pretty well for them.
Well, Connor, I don't appreciate the move. And, you know, we're trying to win for our own down here.
Appreciate this year. You know, appreciate the potential championship run this year.
I'll tell you what, it's gonna be, you know, when I look at it, next year, that's a competitive year. You know, the Clippers are going to be good again. Obviously, hopefully the Lakers continuing. And now you're going to throw the Golden State Warriors in the mix. There's some other young up-and-coming teams, the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, the West is just going to be – the West is already very talented. But I do believe that Warriors run is not over, you know. So when I, you know, and I appreciate you, you know, obviously hopping on, kind of educating us a little bit on the game tomorrow. But when I look big picture, you know, I got to imagine the Warriors are going to be one of those title contenders as well.
Yeah, no, I think a lot needs to kind of fall into place. As we all know, these things are easy to talk about, but to actually see them come to fruition is much more difficult. So a lot of things need to go their way. They need Steph and Clay to come back near 100%. They need Andrew Wiggins to work out. They need a couple of these younger players to continue to pop, guys like Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole. But I don't know, they'll be well positioned to definitely vault back into contention. And the only team that has a historic comparison is really the 96-97 Spurs that parlayed that one really bad season into Tim Duncan and then sustained success, which is really what the Warriors are trying to emulate.
Connor, final question, just real quick here. Since it's Friday night, are you going to the club tonight?
I'm not. I'm actually, it's kind of depressing. I'm literally still at the Chase Center writing right now because this all the fallout.
Don't lie to us, Connor. Connor, don't lie to us. I know what you're doing when you leave the Chase Center, all right? I know you're going to the club.
Yeah. Well, I might see some friends. We'll say that.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you doing this, and enjoy your weekend.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, that's Connor Letourneau. First time I've actually ever had him on. Great great interview, great insight on the Golden State Warriors, San Francisco Chronicle Warriors beat writer. We're going to do this, and we'll do it every show at 8:30. We'll go hyper local. Every show at 8:30, we are going to kind of just give everybody a good, strong idea of what's going on locally in all the sports. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. It's the most anticipated title fight in recent history as undefeated heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder takes on 29-0 Tyson Fury in a rematch that the world has been waiting for. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, February 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern. I almost missed the read, but I got it in. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. By the way, tomorrow, Dr. Clapper, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Lakers taking on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow as well. That tip-off is at 5:30, so pregame show will start at 4 with myself and MT. MT will probably ask me, What time tomorrow? 3. Pre-game?
Isn't it 3? It's 5:30. Oh, no, you're right.
5:30 tip, yeah, 4.
I get here at 3.
Yeah, you concerned me there for a second. I was like, I don't know what else. I got to go another hour on top of that.
I got my calendars mixed up.
MT's probably going to ask me questions that have nothing to do with basketball.
Alan, what is the capital of Egypt?
That's awesome. So that's gonna continue. And then Monday, we'll get back at it. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, 6 a.m., and we'll just continue to go local. What a great lineup, by the way. And, you know, I know LA is very appreciative to go as hyper local as possible, and it's great that upper management has kind of made some of these tweaks here and allowed us to do that. With that in mind, 8:30, we want to talk as local as we can get. So let's look around all the different sports going on right now. There's only one local game going on today, Jess. Is that what you said?
Yeah, only one local game, and it's over. And it was over in OT. Okay. The Ducks traveled to Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs, and they lost in OT 5-4.
Where are the Angels, or where are the Ducks, and where are the Kings right now in the standings in the NHL?
They both sit at the bottom of the Pacific Division. The Ducks at 55-22. I'm sorry, 22-26-7, mm-hmm. and the Kings at 19-31-5.
All right, so neither one of those teams doing anything.
No, they're both at the bottom. Even the Kings have the lowest amount of points.
Okay, no game for the Clippers tonight.
Nope, they travel tomorrow to take off the new look Timberwolves.
Okay, they got Minnesota tomorrow. The Lakers, obviously, we already talked about. What else are we missing? USC and UCLA. So where is USC and UCLA? Both of them didn't play in basketball, right?
No, they didn't. But USC stands at 6-4 in the Pac-12, while the Bruins stand at 5-5. The Trojans are one game back out of first place, and the Bruins are two games.
Who's leading the Pac-12 right now in basketball?
It is a tie between number 24, Colorado Buffaloes, and 14 Oregon Ducks. However, the Arizona Wildcats are also half a game behind.
So is Arizona ranked?
Yes, Arizona is number 23.
All right, so you have three Pac-12 teams right now that are ranked.
Mm-hmm.
USC and UCLA, not a part of that mix. Neither one of those teams are ranked. I got a chance to look at the recruiting classes. This was kind of the story in college football over the last couple of days. All right. I think this is going to shock some people. And this is my transition from USC and UCLA when it comes to the Pac-12 standings. And three teams right now in college basketball are in the Pac-12, or three schools right now in the Pac-12 right now are ranked, and neither are, you know, USC and UCLA aren't a part of that mix.
Wait, Alan, but before we get into that, I completely forgot. I don't know how I forgot.
What'd we miss?
It does not happen today. It's happening tomorrow.
Okay, what is that?
It is the opening.
This is the XFL.
The XFL returns tomorrow. The Wildcats have their season opener against the Houston Roughnecks at Sports Dignity Health Sports Park in Carson.
So they're playing at the same stadium that the Chargers were playing.
Correct.
I wonder who would have more fans technically.
I mean,
the only reason why the Chargers were selling out anything is because the Raiders were in town, the Chiefs were in town, the Broncos were in town, it was all the other teams.
They should have more here.
All right, so XFL, that's I completely have no idea what's going on there.
This is the XFL.
Appreciate it, Vince McMahon. Thank you, Vince. Okay, this is what I want to get into real quick. So from a football perspective, right? So the top recruiting classes, and I just keyed in on USC and UCLA. What the hell happened to college football in LA? What happened to college football in LA? How many seats does the Coliseum fit?
What, like 85, 90,000?
And Rose Bowl is 100 or 90
plus?
No,
the Rose Bowl is probably a little smaller. It's probably maybe about 70. I don't think it's as big because, you know, the Coliseum is like a giant bowl.
Dome.
Yeah. Dome bowl. Well, the
or
Rose
not dome,
bowl.
But bowl. Check real quick on the capacity of both of those. This is the point that I'm trying to make, all right? USC football ranked number 10 in recruiting. That's not in the country. That's in the Pac-12. USC ranked number 10 in the Pac-12 alone. They were number 54 in the country. They had 13 commits. Zero of them were 5 stars. Two of them were 4 stars. And 11 of them were 3 stars. UCLA ranked 6 in the Pac-12 in recruiting. 32 in the country. 20 commits. Zero 5 stars. 4 4-stars. And 16 3 stars. So between USC and UCLA, both schools had 0 5-stars. Between USC and UCLA, they combined for 6 4-stars. And then I mentioned the 11 and the 16 for 3 stars. What the hell happened to college football in LA? What's the capacity in both of those?
So I was completely wrong.
I haven't
been to the Rose Bowl in a long time. The capacity is 90,000 plus.
For Rose Bowl?
For Rose Bowl, and the Coliseum is around 78,000.
Okay. Listen, people are going to have much better history than I am when it comes to USC football and UCLA football. All right? So the 10 years that I've been in Los Angeles, some of my favorite events to go to are college football games. Listen, when it's good Pac-12 football, I got into a couple great games. This was a few years back, USC and Notre Dame. USC versus Oregon. I've gone to UCLA and Oregon. And this is when, you know, football was, I don't want to say it's at its peak. Obviously, this was after the Pete Carroll era. We know, you know, UCLA hasn't done too much over these last couple of years, and there's mounting pressure on Chip Kelly to make it happen. But there's something different when college football is good in this town. And I don't know what it is. Like, you know, Jesse, tell me if I'm right or wrong on this.
You're completely wrong. I don't have to hear it. You're completely wrong.
Perfect. But tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. Do people just not care about college football in this town? Or do they care?
I don't think they don't. I think they care.
Okay. So this is my question then. If they care, why don't they call in more to radio shows and raise hell a little bit? It's not okay that USC is number 10 in the Pac-12 as far as recruiting goes. Bro, there's only 12 schools.
So I'm sure if we give people a true outlet, I'm sure if Mason and Ireland opened up the phone lines for a segment and just said, if you have something to complain about USC, you know what? I'm sure if you have something to call and complain about USC, the lines will be flooded.
Okay, this is what it tells me then, all right? You're right about a platform giving them an opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll use this platform as an example. The phone number is 877-710-ESPN. You explain to me why it's okay that USC and UCLA cannot make noise in the Pac-12 in either basketball or football. How's that okay in this town?
Well, we'll see what the callers say, but I think it's the fact that the NFL is back, and it's also the fact that USC and UCLA haven't been good, and you know UCLA was never.
But that's when you're upset. You know, that's when you're
like
upset.
Right now,
is when
and
it's
you know
not
what?
Happening.
The people that are upset, the other people that we know we don't normally hear from, they have their platform. And it's a platform that everyone uses when they have things to
Twitter.
Voice. They have Twitter. Mm-hmm. They have Facebook. They have Instagram. And I'm sure if you search the hashtag USC, you'll find a perfectly good mix of people
who are just as mad. If you told me, let's just say hypothetically, I say, all right, if somebody wants to call in and they want to complain that USC and UCLA don't have better programs right now, and I gave them the phone number, I would imagine then, okay, all these phone lines would light up and say, perfect, now we have our platform. Let me say what I've been wanting to say. That's what I would assume. But I'm looking right now, I don't see phone lines lit up. I don't see them lit up. The proof is in the pudding.
It's because they can't write and call at the same time. They got to let their followers know first, Alan.
All right, let's do this. If you want to explain to me what happened to USC and UCLA in basketball and football, somebody explain it to me. Do you still care about college football here in L.A.? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. Justin in Sherman Oaks, listen, just help me understand it, because this is for me personally. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm alum of SC and I'm an alum of UCLA and this is BS. I can't give you that story. But what I can tell you is, just as a sports fan, How is USC and UCLA not in the mix in the Pac-12? Explain that one to me. And I'm talking football and basketball.
Well, I mean, for football mainly, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. But it's, yeah, it's unacceptable. It's, you know, it really just comes down to, you can blame the coaching. You can blame, you know, football, professional sports team coming back to L.A. But it really just comes down to, you know, people aren't interested right now. And I think the keeping Helton just really hurt SC. And then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that destroyed them in the recruiting. It really did. I mean, you're really, not going to be. Yeah. Just to give you an example, last year for USC, they were number three in the ranking. And I'm talking about for the Pac-12. And their national ranking was number 20. This year, 10th in the Pac-12 alone, number 54 in the country.
It's a joke. Yeah, I know. It's a joke. And, I mean, I've never even thought about USC recruiting at a Pac-12 level, let alone, I always thought of it as a national level. I never even considered it at a Pac-12. I always assumed, you know, you're always assuming it's at least, you know, top two or three.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, you know, not doing anything at coaching really hurt them. It's just, there's too much uncertainty around.
But Justin, and this is my point. So I get it, right? They have not done a good job. I guess the point that I'm trying to make, and maybe we just don't bring it up enough on our shows, right? But I guess what I'm trying to understand is, how is there not more heat, more pressure? I know there was at that time when Clay Helton, when the athletic director, Mike Bone, decided to keep Clay Helton. I know at that time there was heat, but I would just imagine that there would be more callers that would be calling in, more people complaining, more people saying this is unacceptable. That's the part that throws me off a little bit. I thought that this would be, and I'm not crazy about, you know, when we use the excuse, well, now there's two professional football teams here in LA. Who cares? What does that matter? They play on Sundays. What does that have anything to do with these humongous colleges in Southern California that have been so successful in basketball, have been so successful in football? Why should it matter that a professional team came? Who cares? Last I checked, nobody cares about the Chargers in LA. The Rams, that's a different story. People do care about the Rams. But that shouldn't affect one or the other. All I'm saying is that there shouldn't be a free pass for USC and UCLA. No, you should be held accountable. You should have more success. I'm not saying you got to go up and beat Alabama and Clemson every year, but in the Pac-12, you can't be more relevant? Andy in South LA, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, man. I'm not going to lie. I thought this was for Andy Fitzsimmons, but no disrespect.
Say that again.
So, if you really think about it, I think if you look at the head of the snake, you know, I don't think people want to play for Clay Helton.
Well, you thought I was Freddie? That's awesome, you know, bro.
I've been listening to 710 for a minute. Yeah. And,
I don't sound anything like him. Nothing.
Nah, man. Even better.
No, go ahead. I'm interrupting you. Go ahead. But turn down your radio a little bit. I can hear it a little bit in the background.
My fault, bro.
You're good.
Anyways, I mean, how long have they had Coach Helton for? The last, what, 7, 8 years?
Mm-hmm.
Look at their record. I mean, look at their – it's just, you know, I think they got to get fresh blood. And I told the dude before, I don't even like USC, man. I'm a Notre Dame fan. So just – it's just I don't think players want to play for him. I mean, look at when Pete Carroll was coaching. Look at when Lane Kiffin was coaching over here.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the talent. I mean, they had people coming from different parts of the country wanting to play for USC.
Yeah, it's not the spot now.
Yeah, I mean,
did you hear, Andy? Did you hear where I said USC ranked in the Pac-12 alone?
Yeah, that was crazy. I was actually watching ESPN a while back, and they said 10th out of 12th. I mean, USC used to have a top five recruiting program every year.
I mean, Utah's beating you. Arizona State. I mean, I don't even know who's in front of them. If you want to look, Jesse, and I appreciate you calling in, Jesse, look what the other teams that are in front of them. Obviously, UCLA's in front of them. That's shocking to me. And, you know, I say this and I complain not to take joy in it. I want to see the Coliseum sold out. And I want to see that on a Saturday night, it's a nationally televised game, and it's USC and it's Oregon going at it for top five in the country. The SEC has completely dominated college football, and it seems like all the five stars are going everywhere other than USC and UCLA. And I'm when I say that, I'm speaking literally, like they literally are. If you combine how many five stars USC had, and if you combined how many five stars UCLA had, you get zero. Tony and Irvine. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. I wanted to talk about the college football. You said I just listened to your other caller telling them regarding the Alabama and SEC. I'm actually from I'm in California now, in Irvine. I've been here for 10 years. And I was in Louisiana. I graduated from LSU. So what happened is, really, this town is all about Lakers. When you come to L.A., you think about Lakers and Magic and Wardy. I watched them for the past. I'm Persian, and I've been in the country 40 years. And I always watch Magic and all them, and I grew up with them, with Kobe and them. And I have a Kobe story that I'll tell you at the end of my conversation with you also. But anyways, all the recruits, they're going to go to Alabama and SEC. SEC dominates the college football for a long, long time now.
Well, how about when USC was dominating college football? It's not unheard of. It's not unheard of. And by the way, Clemson, who's not in the SEC, has done amazing these last 5 years or so. And Tony, I don't want to cut you off, but we are coming up to the show closing. Can you give me that Kobe story real quick? Give me the Kobe story.
Okay. You know, I'm Persian myself, and what happened was. My mom never knew. She passed away a couple of years ago when I was living with her. The only thing, she never knew nothing about the sport, nothing. But only time for some reason when Lakers played and Kobe was playing, she wouldn't even cook food for me. She was sitting just in front of TV and just watched Kobe. I don't know how she got this thing and what was going on with her. She said, I just love this guy. And the minute somebody fouls Kobe, she goes, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. I want to kill that guy. That's how influential Kobe was on her.
Tony, if you listened, and I appreciate you calling in. Look, I did these shows these last couple of weeks, and I took a lot of Laker calls and a lot of Kobe calls. I can't tell you how much respect I have for Laker fans that called in and told such personal stories, beautiful stories. I know this took us off topic a little bit, this SCUCLA, but this is much more important than that. Kobe's influence was amazing. I had chills yesterday at Staples Center. Lakers lose to the Rockets, but there was a play in the fourth quarter that I didn't even know until Steve Mason and Ramona Shelburne told me a little bit earlier today. That dunk LeBron had, there's a kind of an identical, go to Steve Mason's Twitter and you can see it there. I think Ramona's Twitter as well. And it's basically an identical, it's a dunk from Kobe Bryant from 19 years ago. And it was LeBron basically doing the same dunk. I'm not lying when I told you, or when I tell you this. All of Staples Center started chanting Kobe. And we can sit there in a game, and I could talk about the NBA standings and who's got the better roster, the Lakers or the Clippers. I could do that all day long. There's no moment more meaningful to me than when I hear those Kobe chants at Staples Center. I'm telling you, there's nothing better to me than when I hear those Kobe chants at Staples Center. He's an icon. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. And he gave Los Angeles and he gave sports fans across the world something special for 20 years. Thank you to Jesse Lopez. Thank you to Curtis. Appreciate our guest that we had on to talk Dodgers baseball. Obviously talk about the Lakers game against the Warriors tomorrow. Dr. Clapper, tomorrow morning, 7 to 9, pregame show, myself and MT, starting at 4 o'clock. Thank you, LA. Have a great weekend.